Good to see you all here this morning. And as you will remember, we are working our way through the book of Ephesians. And we're come to the last part of Ephesians, and we're working our way through that image of the armor of God. And we're looking at each part of the armor individually. So if you remember, Paul says, look beyond the physical. Look beyond just what you can see around you and see that there is a spiritual conflict going on. And you are part of that spiritual conflict. You are called to be strong in the Lord. But God has not left you defenseless. He has given you an armor, the armor of God, and to stand once you put that armor on. Rather than surrendering to the forces of evil in the world. It is the armor of God, which God has given us, which helps us stand our ground as his people. So let me just read the passage to you to remind you of the whole passage, and then we're going to focus in on one verse this morning. So Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So this morning we are coming to look at that verse where it talks about the shield of faith. Verse 16, in addition to this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And you may remember that the image that Paul is talking about here is the image of a Roman soldier. A Roman soldier with a shield. And the shields that the Roman soldiers used to carry is not kind of one of those small round ones which they would hold in front of them, but actually a big rectangular shield. It was 4 foot tall, and I measured this just to see how big this was, and it actually comes out to about the height of my chest here. And it's 2.5 feet wide, so it's just a little bit wider than my shoulders. So this is not a small shield. This is quite a substantial shield which will protect the soldier in battle. It was made of leather, it was made of wood, and it was made of metal to make sure it was strong. That it could be a good defensive shield. And the reason that they needed that strong shield is that in ancient warfare, they would fire arrows, but not just any old arrow, an arrow whose tip had been dipped in tar and then set on fire. And then it was shot into your enemy. The idea was that they would try and set the shields on fire so that shields would be dropped, leaving the person vulnerable. And so the Romans came up with an ingenious method. They would dip their shields in water. They would soak them through and through, so that when the arrows, the flame arrows, came and hit the shields, the flames would be put out and the shields would not catch fire. And this is the image that Paul is using here. Except it is not water that puts out the flaming arrows. It is faith. It is faith in God which extinguishes the arrows that come towards us. So remember, we're talking about a spiritual battle here. We're not talking about a physical battle. So what are these arrows? And where are they coming from? So Paul says that they're coming from the evil one. And in the Bible, that phrase, evil one, can mean Satan. The spiritual being who opposes God and the people of God. The one who would want to see our downfall as God's people. And we see that Jesus uses this phrase of the evil one in the parable of the sower, that parable that we know so well. About the farmer who goes out to sow his seed and sows it on the ground. Some of the seed falls on the good soil, some of it falls on the rocky path. And Jesus says that when some of the seed falls, the evil one comes and snatches away the word of God, which is sown in our hearts. So we can see that this phrase, evil one, in the Bible refers to Satan, the devil. But also in the Bible, that phrase, evil one, can also refer to a bad person. Somebody who was morally bad. Somebody who would seek to attack us. But if we listen to what the whole of what Paul is saying here in Ephesians 6, given the context of the spiritual battle that he is talking about, it's best that we understand these flaming arrows as coming from the devil, ultimately. Even if they sometimes come through other people. This is Satan at work. This is a spiritual battle. But what are the arrows that are being fired at us? Paul actually doesn't unpack what he means by arrows here. He leaves us with a gap to fill. And the arrows are essentially any and every assault from the evil one which can lead us to turn away from God. They have the potential, anything that has the potential to harm our relationship with God. So it could be many things. It could be people who come across our path, who question our faith. You know, those kind of people who throw questions at us which can lead us to question our belief in Jesus as the Lord who's risen from the dead. It's no wonder that in John chapter 8, verse 44, that Satan is called the father of lies. Because from him is the origin of all untruth. So the arrows could come from other people in terms of questioning our faith. Could be come in the form of temptation. You know that famous story in Genesis chapter 3 in the Garden of Eden. The serpent says to Adam and Eve, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And we know that image from that story in Genesis 3 of the serpent is actually the devil. Another flaming arrow tempting us. It could be in the form of difficult circumstances, health problems, tragedy, life circumstances, This doesn't mean we should attribute the cause of these things to Satan, but he can use them to sow seeds of doubt about God within us. Could be accusations. The devil in the Bible is also called the accuser. Accusations. And sometimes, yes, we are truly guilty. We've done something wrong. But the accusations come, you've done wrong, and you know what? God won't love you. A flaming arrow which ignores the grace and the mercy of God as shown in Jesus Christ. And sometimes the flaming arrow may be an accusation which is false guilt. We're accused of things which we have not done. Sometimes a flaming arrow may be a proclamation of the power of evil over and against the power of God. That says, you know, this God that you worship, he's not as strong as you think he is. He's not powerful. A flaming arrow that comes to us. Now, in a previous church, I can remember having a chat with a couple. They'd booked a B&B holiday, but then they'd noticed on the website for that B&B that it talked about the local history, and there was a history of witches in the local area, and it said proudly, "Oh, we have a toy witch's cat in our B&B," and this couple said, "Oh, witches, we're cancelling, we're not going there." But you know what? Our God is strong. Our God is powerful. 1 John chapter 4 verse 4 says, "The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." We do not need to fear situations like that. We do not need to accept that flaming arrow that proclaims the power of evil over against the power of God. We do not need to withdraw in fear, but go with confidence, shining the light of Christ through us. So these arrows that come at us may be many different things. But Paul says the thing that will defend you, the thing that will give you strength, is this shield of faith. It is faith that will protect you. And this faith is not about the power of human belief. It's not about, I just need to believe hard enough. I need to work up this belief within me. And this faith is not something like electricity, which is a power in itself. It's not a thing. Sometimes we can act as if faith has a power in itself apart from God. No, the image of faith that we see in Scripture is different. And it's the same kind of image that you see with young children and parents. Who does a young child run to when they're scared? Their parents. Why? Because they believe that their parents can help them and protect them. They believe that their parent knows what to do. It is an act of faith on that child's life and heart. And it is the same with our faith. Faith is to do with our trusting relationship with God. It is not belief in itself that protects us from the flaming arrows of the evil one, but it is the one in whom we put our faith who protects us. It is the one in whom we put our faith who has the power. And every day is an opportunity for us to trust God more. Every day is an opportunity for us to strengthen that shield of faith that protects us. You know, when I was about 16 years old, I was off doing my Duke of Edinburgh Awards. And if, for those of you who don't know the Duke of Edinburgh Award, it's something that you do and you have to go off and do a hike somewhere through a hilly, mountainous country. And a group of us went up to Snowdonia in North Wales. And we'd planned this route, and our instructors who were with us left us to follow the route we planned. And we were climbing down and walking down the side of this valley. And then the cloud came in. We were quite high up. And all we could see was about two arm lengths in front of us. And we ended up on what looked like a ledge. Now, the map said there was a path off this ledge, but we couldn't see it clearly. We didn't have faith in the truthfulness of the map. So we sat on that ledge, scared, for a little while. And eventually, our instructors came and found us and said, "What are you doing?" But the doubts came in, that were being thrown at us like flaming arrows. We can't trust the map. In the spiritual battle, our trust is in God's. And the thing is that our faith is matched by His faithfulness. Our God is faithful. We trust Him, we rely on Him, we take Him at His word because He is true, because He is trustworthy. Now, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 says, "Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him." Now, in some ways, faith, that word, is spelt R-I-S-K. Risk. Because we need to step out, we need to take that risk of trusting God. When the evil one is throwing everything against us which would seek to turn us away from God, we have to take that risk. But in other ways, faith is not spelt R-I-S-K, because our God is faithful and true. You know, those who are addicted to gambling will talk about the sure bet. This is a sure bet. This is going to win. But actually, we have a sure bet in God. Faith in God is not a gamble. He is the true and trustworthy one. No matter what arrow, no matter what may come at us, we can trust Him. And faith in God is the shield that protects us when the day of spiritual battle comes. Faith takes hold of God's resources in the midst of the onslaughts of evil. And we put God between us and the evil one. And nothing can get through God, because God has already conquered evil. And He did that on the cross in Jesus Christ. Now, we can misunderstand this shield of faith. And there are some misunderstandings that we need to avoid. Firstly, it's not about how much faith we have. In Matthew 17, when the disciples were struggling to heal a boy, with an evil spirit. Jesus says to them, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. It's not about the quantity of faith, but it's about the quality of our faith. So we do not have to work up enormous amounts of faith in the spiritual battle. Secondly, we need to avoid thinking that we need to argue the evil one into submission. The accusation comes as a flaming arrow. And we say, yes, but, as if we want to argue Satan into submission. But we end up in a game of table tennis. Backwards and forwards. Yes, but, yes, but, yes, but. No. The shield of faith is about simply standing on God's truth. We do not need to argue the evil one into submission. We just need to stand in the truth that God has given us. God says it, that settles it. I believe it. This is where I stand. Another misunderstanding we need to avoid is it's just about faith. Actually, the whole armor of God shows that faith is one part of it. An important part. But in the midst of the spiritual battle, we also need the belt of truth. We also need the breastplate of righteousness. The gospel fitted with the feet fitted with the gospel. The peace of the gospel. And so on. We need the whole armor of God. Faith is an important part of it, but it is not just about faith. And we also need to avoid the misunderstanding that if we have faith, the flaming arrows from the evil one won't come. Faith doesn't stop the arrows coming, but it deals with them when they do. Expect the flaming arrows. Don't be deceived. And prepare for them. Grow your faith now so that when the flaming arrows come, you are ready and you can exercise your faith muscles, which you have already grown. You know, every soldier, if I was to go and join the army today, they wouldn't send me off straight away. They would take one look at me and say, I think we need to do some work on your physical fitness. You haven't really been going to the gym, have you? Every soldier needs to get physically fit before the battle. They don't do it when they get to the battle. And it's the same with our faith muscles as well. We need to put our faith muscles to work now so that when the flaming arrows come, we can stand. So how can we grow our faith? Well, actually, a good way is Scripture. We need to get to know Scripture. In Scripture, we find out who our God is. And we see his character revealed. If we want to trust God, if we want to have faith into God, then we need to know who our God is. And so we need to learn Scripture. We need to read Scripture. We need to get to know Scripture. And do it now, before the flaming arrows come. We also need to get to know doctrine as well. And that word doctrine, sounds a big long word, difficult word, but actually it just means teaching. We need to know what the teachings of the Christian faith are. The teachings about salvation, the teachings about hope, the teachings about forgiveness, the teachings about Christ, the teachings about the church. So that when the flaming arrow comes and says, you have sinned so badly that God will not love you anymore, we can say, I stand on the doctrine of Christ's atonement on the cross. That Christ died for me. And that shows me that God loves me. Or when the flaming arrow comes and says, you know what? You're nothing. We can stand on the doctrine of the church as the body of Christ, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, where all are valuable, where all have gifts, where all have an important part to play. We can say, you know what? I am not nothing, because God has given me a place in his church. And that is an important and valuable place. So we need to get to know doctrine. We also need to get to know God's promises. And these are the things that God has said he will do. And our God cannot lie. His promises are trustworthy. So for example, Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus says to his disciples before he leaves them, I am with you always to the very end of the age. If we radically believed this promise, that Jesus is with us always, what difference would that make to us as we go through life? And Romans 8:28, Paul says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That is a promise. God works for the good. But we need to make sure we don't misunderstand the promises. We need to understand them correctly. God working for the good doesn't mean to say that all things will feel good at the time. But it means that we can be assured that whatever happens in the scope of eternity, it will work for our good. We need to get to know God's promises and make sure we understand them correctly. But also we need to exercise our faith. We need to live our faith. And I'm going to say a little bit more about that next week. I'm going to be preaching next week, and I'm going to continue this theme of faith from Hebrews 11. I had to ask Robert to put some verses on the screen, but I don't think we've got time this morning, unfortunately. But if you read Hebrews 11, you read about all the people throughout the Bible who put their faith into practice. And as a result, their trust in the faithfulness of God grew. They weren't perfect people. They got it wrong at times. But they sought to make faith their habitual home. The place which they lived life from. So grow your faith this morning. Get to know scripture. Get to know doctrine. Get to know God's promises. Exercise faith in your life so that you can stand firm with the shield of faith, so that when the flaming arrows come, you can stand firm. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are trustworthy. We thank you that your word is true. We thank you that your promises are certain and sure. And that whatever the evil one may say, whatever the evil one may do, we thank you we can stand in faith. because we know you are our shield. You are our protector. You are our Lord. So this morning we pray, help us to grow our faith in you. Help us to grow those faith muscles so that when the day of evil comes, we can stand and stand firm. In Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.